We now come and we hear the reading of the Word, and so would you turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll hear the last chapter of this wonderful book about the Christian's sure salvation. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll be reading verses 1 to the end, verse 14. Starting in verse 1, this is the word of our great and holy God. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples of to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Through Salvanus, our faithful brother, for so I regard him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to you, all who are in Christ. Well, that is the word of our God. Well, continuing on the same topic of suffering, he even mentions it there in verse 1. The Lord now switches to his attention to the elders of the church, those who are the under-shepherds under Christ. They are called to what? They are called to pastor or shepherd the flock. There's the command in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God among you. And therefore, elders, you must shepherd the members of this congregation voluntarily, it says. No one here should be pushing you to do it. It cannot be done under compulsion, he says, but with great eagerness you should lead this church under the headship of Christ according to God's will, and not for sordid gain, not that you would somehow gain something from it, even something evil or more power or anything like that. And then verse 3, your command to be examples of the flock. That's what it means to be a shepherd, to be an example to the flock and to teach them. But here he says, for the example of the flock, even that example in suffering. That's the main context of chapters 3, 2, 3, and 4. And so even in the midst of suffering, you're to be that example to the flock. So when you suffer, you are to do so in a godly way, just as he has instructed you through this book, that the sheep would follow you when they suffer. And so that is what a faithful and humble leader looks like. So we could apply that to husbands, we could apply that to bosses and the like, and parents. A faithful and humble leader looks like the one who shows an example to those under their charge. And the promise to the faithful elders here is that you will receive an unfading crown of glory when Jesus returns. And so we have, elders, we have something to look forward to if we're faithful and humble. And the Lord then transitions from that to the addressing the elders, to those under the elders' authority. And so he says, those who are younger men, but also it says after that, and he says, and all of you. And so this here, he's talking to everyone, all the sheep in the congregation, even the elders, that you are to first submit to the elders. Elders, you submit to the elders as well. You submit to the brethren. You submit at the presbytery level, and you submit in that way. But you're also to be submitting to Christ. And in our submission, just as we've looked at in Ephesians and even in 1 Peter, that submission to your elders is a submission to the Lord. And so as wives are to submit to their husbands, you do so in everything to the Lord. You're submitting to Him. Children, what we'll see this evening, your submission to your parents is a submission in everything to the Lord, for this is right, he says. And so, sheep, the congregation, the members, you are to submit to the elders as you are submitting in and to the Lord. And what the Lord is getting at because of this, because the elders are leading by example, the members are then following that example, submitting to them. The Lord is then getting to verse 6 and following, that as you submit and humble yourselves before the elders, as they're leading you according to the Word of God and in the Word of God, calling you to follow after Christ, what that's going to lead to in your holy life, if you are following the elders and they're following Christ, you will be holy and you'll be righteous, and therefore you will suffer. He goes back to the chapters 2, 3, and 4. You will suffer if you follow the elders' example. If they're teaching you according to the Word. And so he says in that place, because if you're following after their example, he says, then cast your anxiety upon Him. Well, cast your anxiety about what? Cast your anxiety about suffering. Upon who? Upon the Lord. You are to, as you follow after Christ, and that will lead, and sometimes to suffering, he says, in that place, cast all your anxiety about your suffering, about your struggles, about the threats of suffering on the Lord. Even right now, you're thinking about suffering, and that doesn't sit well with you. Cast your anxiety upon Him even now, even when suffering's not upon you yet. Because He cares for you, he says. He loves you. And He's going to do everything to protect you. And He will protect you and your soul, even if your body comes to death. Because of Christ, and He rose from the dead. And so even as they are protecting you, the elders are protecting you from sin and evil, you need to be watchful yourself, Christians. For when you start living out the Christian life in holiness and godliness, the devil is going to tempt you more. Here he says your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's already devoured those who are in sin, those who are non-Christians. And so he's coming after you now. And then we have the great words of verse 9. But resist him. Here he says, the Lord is saying through Peter that you can actually resist the devil, the one who is more powerful than all of us put together and more than all people on the earth put together. And yet you can resist him in Christ. And so he says, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And then the final words of encouragement in verses 10 and 11. After you have suffered for a little while on this earth, the God of all grace, who called you by His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen and establish you, because He is enthroned, He is King. To Him be dominion forever and ever. And so we can have great comfort in that. Cast all your anxiety on Him because of those words in verses 10 and 11. And then the final verses are the standard greeting section at the end of letters, at the end of all these letters that we have in the New Testament, where here Peter exhorts the church in Asia Minor to stand firm in the truth of God's Word, which he has been proclaiming throughout the whole letter. Stand firm in this Word. And stand firm in Jesus. And he promises in this chapter, to deliver you from all your troubles at the right time. For he says that he himself will perfect, confirm, strengthen and establish you, because He is in dominion. He is King. enthroned forever. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we consider these things. Our Father, we do praise You because You are a God who in Your Son is King. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And because of this, we have no reason to fear suffering. Whether that's suffering within our own marital relationships or before our in our work, or whether it is out in the world or in the context of government, whatever it might be, or wherever we suffer, Lord, You call us to live a holy and righteous life, a life where You say that we are called to be holy as Jesus is holy. And when we are living holy as Jesus is holy, and we are filled with the Spirit, You're promising us that we will suffer. Lord, help us to remember the great Psalm 121, that You guard and protect and keep our souls now and forever. And even the body, we think of Martin Luther saying, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, and our souls, as it says in the truth, in the Word of God, will be protected. And You will bring us into Your heavenly kingdom before the throne, and we will even reign with Him. If we endure, we will reign with Christ. And so, Father, we praise You for these great words of the end of 1 Peter 5, which encourage us as Christians to cast all our anxieties upon You. And even when that adversary, the great adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, we do not have to fear him because we have Christ on our side, the one who has claimed the victory through His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Father, we praise You that You're the God who sits enthroned, and we can draw great comfort from these things. Father, we pray that You would help our souls, those souls who are struggling in their faith, who have doubts, who are in depression, or who in their souls are just so struggling. There's great trials and tribulations that some here perhaps are going through. We pray that You would strengthen all of us, that we would be neither lukewarm or cold, but that we would be boiling hot and praise and exaltation to You, and also living out the Christian life in holiness and righteousness, that by it we would bring all praise and all glory to You. And that is our plea to You this morning, according to Your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.